I thought I told you not to interfere.
But you got it wrong, Doc. It's not about listening with your ears. It's about listening to Main Street Mekkies.
I'm Yay! Sick. Why is Figment sick?
Figment?
Is Figment sick, Noah?
First of all, not a professional. Second of all, this is Main Street Mekkies, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about everything Disney. Ask me anything, I dare ya. I'm Noah.
Mentally, I'm on a plane. It's Alex.
And our titles are progressively getting more and more chaotic. I really thought about doing like Trivia Taker or Trivia Taskmaster. And then I was just like, how about Ask Me Anything, I Dare Ya? That'll be fine.
Yeah, no, mine after the last one, I'm just like, I'm just going to more infer to the viewers how little I desire to be in my home. Because I'm so close to the trip and I would like to be somewhere else, please, now. Thank you.
The last one being the one where you just did a pirate growl into the mic and then said your name.
Wait, was that last one? No, that was two ones ago.
Oh,
last one, I believe I was shackled by the prison we call time.
Shackled by time, yeah. Okay. Anyways, this is Main Street Mekkies. And this is our last recording session before Alex's trip to Worlds. So there's going to be some high energy, high chaos.
One session, two episodes.
Two episodes.
The next one's going to get weirder probably. Who knows?
Probably. Who knows? But before we get into it, some quick plugs to get out of the way. Check us out on Instagram at Main Street Mekkies and leave some comments letting us know what you think of the episodes, what you're looking forward to. We said this last time and the episode before, but boy, oh boy, is Disney just pumping out announcements. It's a great time to be alive. Kidding.
No kidding. There are announcements. There are rumors. There is hype.
It's all of the above.
I really hope it's going to be good. Otherwise, it's going to be a really big drop.
It's got a lot of hype to live up to, but there's a lot of stuff about the announcements over there on Instagram. Also, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and drop a 5-star review for your boys. Let us know how you appreciated or had comments for the episodes. We love hearing from you, and seeing those reviews helps us get the podcast to more ears, be they Mickey or not. Thirdly, we've got merch. Boy, oh boy, have we got some sweet merch on our Redbubble store. Just look up Main Street Mekkies at redbubble.com. And we got hats, we got t-shirts, and we've got stickers out the wazoo.
Alex, we have t-shirt.
You can buy multiple t-shirt. Of the t-shirt, yes. I should say. Yeah,
different colors. We have many different colors.
I would say that's t-shirts then. You know, it's one design, but it's the sky's the limit on what you can get that design on. So head to Redbubble.
I got one of our hats on right now.
And how
I'm
going to
be wearing one
feel?
Of those hats. In the park, it feels like the hat of a champion, Noah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. The hat of a champion. You look like a champion.
The glare from my camera is completely blanking out our entire logo.
It looks like it's just a white cap, but there we go. Okay, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, if I lean one direction or another, you can kind of see it. So
nice. But yeah, check out our Redbubble store. And if you've got a trip coming up or you want to plan a trip and you don't want to be stressed out, because who does? Then you're going to want to reach out to Alex. Let him know why.
Thank you, Noah. So I am a Disney travel agent, which means it's going to be a bummer to do this twice in a row so quick. I hate plugging myself.
I'll do it.
But anyways, if you are, like Noah said, if you're having a trip coming up and you want an extra hand, you can contact me as a Disney travel agent. I can find and book your hotel for you. I can pick up your tickets. I can book your tickets for you. I can get the special event tickets and help you with your dining, give reservations, any last minute plans or changes. That's on me to do for you, not you to do like while you're on your plane. You decide like right as you're boarding, hey, I actually want to stay at this hotel instead. I'll do it while you're there, while you're in the air, and you'll be set to go when you land. So, and the best part is no extra cost to you. That's all built into the original Disney price that you'd be paying if you didn't have the travel agent. So you might as well just get that extra pair of hands, even if it's just somebody to bounce off dining ideas and ride plans or whatever you got going on. Mm-hmm. So you can contact us at mainstreamekkies@gmail.com or mainstreamekkies on Instagram, and that will get right to me and we can start planning an awesome trip.
Nice.
And that's Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruises, International Disney Parks, any Disney place, Adventures by Disney as well. All those are under, I can help you guys out with.
I mean, Disney's it's getting more and more complicated to navigate the parks. So yeah. Really, it's in your best interest to have a man on the inside helping you make things a little more enjoyable, a little less stressful.
The only thing I can't do is wake you up at 7 a.m. and do the Genie Pluses for you. That's pretty much it.
That's on you. Nice. Okay. Well, like we said, this is, you know, two episodes, one session. So we're going to try and keep this on the shorter side, which is our new motto for the podcast. For this episode, we're going to keep it light, but tying into the theme of trips coming up soon, it's another trivia episode, y'all. We got questions. We've got trivia questions. We do need a do we need a soundboard? Would that be in our best interest?
We shouldn't have a soundboard.
And that's how ideas come to fruition and then die within one sentence.
Immediately just taken behind a barn.
Oh, no. Oh, not that idea.
It was born and aged so quickly.
Oh, like a bad cheese. But yeah, we've got Alex and I each have three trivia questions for each other. And we're going to go through them and we'll give some time between asking and answers so that you can play along with us. I know in the past we've kind of organized them by difficulty or by theme or something. Didn't do any of that for this one, nope. Although coincidentally, all of mine ended up following the same kind of theme. So, well, you'll quickly learn what that theme is.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, but would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I've been doing a lot of talking. Why don't you go first?
Okay. So, I ended up following essentially, so we decided to go all Disney World since both of our trips are coming up in Disney World.
Yeah.
And I only have one out of my three that isn't about a specific specific park. So that's just what ended up happening, not on purpose, but those are the facts that seemed interesting. Okay. So number one, and play along at home, listeners, let us know in the comments of the episode or just send us a message how many of these you got. All right. What is the largest Disney park in terms of size? And was the largest Disney park in terms of size with a single attraction taking up more space than the entirety of the original Disneyland park? Name the park and the attraction.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you want me to say it again?
Yeah. Say it one more time.
Okay. So what is the largest Disney park in terms of size? So acreage with a single attraction taking up more space than the entire original Disneyland park. You need to name the park and the attraction.
Okay. I think I have an idea of what this one is. And I feel like within the last 10 episodes or so we've recorded, the topic of which park is the largest came up.
I think after my Disneyland trip, talked about acreage.
Oh, no. And I don't remember what exactly. Well, I just remember being kind of surprised. So I think the largest park by acreage is it Animal Kingdom? Can I have that first and then go on?
Yeah, you can guess the first one. I will let you guess the first one. It should lead into the second one because it is Animal Kingdom.
Okay, then I'm gonna guess that the safari is the largest attraction by
correct.
Acreage.
Correct.
Okay.
So the largest Disney park. So I'm pulling up the individual ones right now. I'm looking. Come on. Okay. Let me do this a different way. But yeah, so essentially the safari alone, just because of the amount of size that they need to take care of the animals, is the size of Disneyland.
That's wild to think about. That's crazy. If you didn't include that sub question, I don't think I would have been as confident.
Animal Kingdom is 580 acres.
Oh my gosh.
In its entirety. So, and obviously not all of that is park proper. There's the safari. There is there's like the distance between the planet watch. There's all the facilities that they need to take care of the animals and all that kind of stuff. So all of these include just how Epcot's, I believe, 300 something acres. Includes all of it, including the areas you can't walk on. And so it's the park and everything needed to regulate it. And so that's why Animal Kingdom kind of, it might feel small walking path wise, but all the stuff that's needed to run it pushes it over the top pretty significantly.
Epcot was going to be my second guess just because World Showcase feels like it adds a lot. I'd be interested to see like actual explorable, walkable area that's not rides, which park has the most of that.
Yeah, I honestly would guess Epcot would be the winner.
Epcot? Yeah.
Just because I mean the World Showcase alone is a mile.
That's fair.
Do any of your questions deal with acreage?
No, none of them do.
Perfect. Okay. So the acreage of the four Disney World parks is Animal Kingdom at 580, Epcot at 305, Hollywood Studios at 135, and Magic at 107.
Magic is smaller than Hollywood Studios.
That is as of June of 2023. I believe that Galaxy's Edge pushed Magic out of the way, down to the bottom.
In the last, I would have guessed Hollywood was a fair bit smaller than...
It feels a fair bit smaller.
It does feel a lot smaller.
I think it's because it's more corridor and section-based, whereas Magic is just one big wheel.
Yeah.
Everything flows into it, whereas Hollywood, you do run into ends. And you run into spots that you can't continue.
Yeah,
Or you continue by just going down a big hallway.
Huh.
So, but once they add Beyond Big Thunder, who knows what that number will actually end up being. So I don't know how many acres they're planning on expanding into, but
it would be surprising
to be what they'd have to get 28 to tie Hollywood. That would be big.
Yeah. I just hope they connect up. I hope they get rid of the dead end that's currently at Thunder and connect things up. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Just let everything loop nice. Around. All right. So that's number one. Hit me with what you got. Let's see if I can get it. I don't do well on these episodes, I've noticed.
I'm going to tell you now that all of mine are kind of history based.
Oh, I'm done. That's not going to be good. If you ask me a date, I'm going to be so upset.
It's not dates. Okay. I'll tell you that. They're not dates. So in Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland, I think this is the easiest of the three. Two equally cursed attractions spent time occupying the building across from Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. Those being Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter and Stitch's Great Escape. Which of these two rides operated the longest?
Oh, I believe it was Extraterrestrial, wasn't it?
Is that your final answer?
Because I think Stitch's only lasts like a year and a half. Stitches
lasted longer. Stitch operated for a total of 13 years.
It did not.
It sure did. Extraterrestrial was open for 8 years. And I'm waiting for my keyboard to connect.
For whatever reason, I do not remember Stitch being open for that long.
So let's see. Extraterrestrial opened in 95, closed in 2003. Stitch's Great Escape opened 2004 and officially closed in 2018.
It might just be because that ride was a ghost.
And that's
10 years.
It's a phenomenon. And I saw this on this question was inspired by a Twitter thread of rides that people thought the original version was open longer than the replacement, when actually the replacement lasted way longer. And this one was the one I was most surprised by, because I thought Stitch was like a Band-Aid that lasted for a few years, and then they just kind of ghosted the building and left some signage
up
for a while.
I would have put Stitch 3 years max. I'll be honest. Like, that was a, like, it's been
years.
Like 1 to 2 years, 3 years max. I just don't remember. I mean, it doesn't help that like when Stitch opened, I was 6 years old. So like that doesn't help.
Yeah.
When I rode Stitch, it probably would have been in the like 2010s.
Yeah.
So like that's when I remember it. And then we didn't ride it very much because my parents hated the chili dog smell. That like it would make people gag. And it was not good. They did a great job with that smell. They did too good. It smelled like
too
chili
well.
Dog herbs. Yeah, it was gross. But
yeah. Well, that's my first question. And that is the genre of question that I have for my remaining two. So
okay, that's not too bad of history. Okay, so my genre is two of them are from Animal Kingdom. The second one, this is just kind of interesting, but I think it's gettable. So David Greybeard is the only don't worry, it makes sense. Okay. David Greybeard is the only animal on the Tree of Life in Animal Kingdom that is based on a real specific animal. What kind of animal was he?
David Greybeard?
His name's David Greybeard. He is actually placed down. He was placed down on Time's most influential animals in history. On their 15 most influential animals.
What?
I have never heard of him before.
Okay, that makes me
feel
better.
But I still think that you could take a guess. And I will say where he's from and why he's significant afterwards. The story is really cool.
I'm half aghast just that there's an ant there. There was an animal that existed and someone said, let his name be David. Like, mm-hmm. That's hilarious. David Greybeard. Okay. What animals might have a... Oh, man. I can't think of any animals that A, would have a beard, and B, would
think
gray...
Think of kinds of animals that are particularly significant to human beings, I think is a good way to go through.
I want to say it is a type of monkey, and I feel like the most significant would be like a gorilla, but David Greybeard. I'm sure the story you're about to tell is like really inspiring and like really honors this animal, but
it's a funny name to give.
It seems like a really goofy. It's like someone goofed and they were like, "How about David Greybeard? Like, how about Oldie McOldface?" Okay, I'm just gonna guess that it was a gorilla.
You were close. It's a chimpanzee. He's Dang a chimpanzee. Oh. So David Greybeard was the first chimp that Jane Goodall was able to form a bond with.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's the first chimp that actually trusted her enough to repeatedly come to her camp and interact with her. The reason why his name was David was because he had a companion that he would spend a lot of time with that was a larger chimp that they named mm-hmm. Goliath. So David and Goliath. And the gray beard comes from he had white fur that looked like a beard around his mouth. So
really cool.
She actually credits near the entirety of her research to that interaction that she had, or the interaction she had with him, because he would bring other chimps from the group to the camp.
And he's like the gateway chimp.
He
got the other chimps onto humans.
Onto humans, pretty much. He was also one of the calmer individuals of the group, and it's a huge credit to her research is specifically David. So he is the only animal on the Tree of Life that is based on a specific animal rather than the species as a whole.
That's really cool. And now I need to look up where he
looks
on
like
the Tree of Life.
I'm gonna be looking for him when we're there next week. So
I typed in David Greybeard. That's not a person. Oh man, that's really cool. Okay,
you see where he's at.
I see where he's at. Yeah, I'm going to have to look for him because that's a really cool story. And that's...
I need to look
that's
him up
awesome.
Too.
Oh, and there's like a plaque next to him and everything so you can walk up to him. Nice. Okay, that was wholesome. I feel bad for goofing on Dave. Okay.
Sorry, I'm looking.
No, you're good. Yeah,
it's him. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's like that's a really sweet way to honor him. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the cool one. There, I just saw there's a picture of her with the statue and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's like inside near Tough to Be a Bug.
That's what it looks like.
I'll probably do a picture of it and post it on Instagram just so people can find it.
Nice.
All right. You're number two.
Less historically significant, but still historically related. My question number two. Heading back to Tomorrowland, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin can be found in the building mirroring the hollow shell that once housed Stitch and Extraterrestrial. But Buzz Lightyear was not the original inhabitant of this building. How many attractions have been inside this space, and what are their names?
There's no way I'm getting this. There's no way.
If you get any of them, I'll be impressed, because I think
I know one's the timekeeper one, right? I don't remember the exact name, but I
not correct.
Not correct. I thought that's where that building was. I have no idea what was in this attraction.
I now need to double check where that happened, though, because this is Disneyland. Wait. This is what is this Disney? This is okay. Magic Kingdom Tomorrowland. This was okay. The timekeeper thing is where Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor is currently.
Oh, so okay. I guess, so same building.
So you were right. I guess I was specifically referring to the space that Buzz Lightyear inhabits. Inhabits.
Yeah. No. So I got nothing. I had no idea that there was other things.
This is a deep cut and probably should have been my final question, but. I learned a lot on this one as well. So there were technically four attractions.
Four?
Technically four. I would say two with an asterisk next to them. So let me find out when it opened. The original attraction in this space was called If You Had Wings and opened with the park in 1972. It opened in 1972 in Tomorrowland. You should look up a picture of it, because the marquee is just like the phrase If You Had Wings in all lowercase in like Arial font. It's hilariously unthemed. This was an Omnimover attraction that just took guests through like the eras of flight and showed you different areas, and it was sponsored by the now defunct Eastern Airlines. Eastern Airlines pulled their sponsorship, and Disney just changed a song that was played during the ride and renamed it to If You Could Fly. Then Delta took over the sponsorship and it became Delta Dream Flight. And this is like the most interesting one, I think.
Because you just saw the marquee.
Oh yeah. It's like
somebody phoned this in. They are so unenthusiastic about their own attraction.
Open up a blank Word document and type in If You Had Wings with no capitalization, and that's what the sign looked like. Like, put that on a black background and you're there.
The Omnimover looks pretty cool. Like, these sets are solid.
Oh yeah, like it looks really interesting, and it honestly like probably would have been a cool ride. It was just like
I'm glad they changed it. I'll say that. I like Buzz. I'm not. This isn't like Horizons where I'm sad. I'm just like, oh, this is something.
Yeah, this is something. So it was If You Had Wings, and then the sponsorship got pulled, so they had to change it to If You Could Fly. And then Delta took over and it became Delta Dream Flight, and they put
I'm looking at the marquee for that one, and that one's a lot more.
It's a lot more. And the fun thing about that is if you look at the Space Ranger Spin marquee now, you can tell they used the same piece of like the same sign that Delta Dream Flight had. They just repainted it. Like, it is very cloud shaped around the outside, and they just reused it for Space Ranger Spin. It's a fun little Easter egg you can find.
Oh, they did.
They super used the same sign.
They just painted it.
Yeah. And like, they did a good job.
it's solid. It's good.
Unless you're looking for it, you're not going to be like, oh, that's.
And they changed all around it too, and all that kind of stuff. So it's different. But yeah, no, they absolutely did. That explains the weird cutout shape there. Yeah, they didn't even like go and redo any of it.
No. So that took over, and then Delta dropped their sponsorship, and it just became an attraction called Take Flight, which was virtually the same as when Delta did. They just removed all mentions of Delta, and then finally it became Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. So technically four different named attractions, but you could argue that it was two, just the sponsored and unsponsored versions of each.
And a good reminder that Disney has just been replacing non-IP rides with IP for a very long time.
A very long time. And sponsorships just like riddle the history of every attraction.
Oh, yeah.
The Disney parks.
Someday Chevrolet is probably going to drop Test Track. Like that just is what it is. And that might honestly be a reason why they're kind of protecting their butt if they make it like World of Motion again. So,
yeah. So that's my second question. It's a bit of a loaded baked potato.
Yeah, there was nothing to get that. But that's great. All right. Well, I have one last one. You might know this one, but I thought it was an interesting fact.
Okay.
So what does Disney use to hide many of its cast member entrances and doors throughout the parks?
Whoa.
There's a specific thing that they use, and it's not just cast member doors and entrances. It's pretty much anything that they don't want your eye being drawn to, whether it's guardrails, municipal things, lampposts that aren't part of the decorations, or like lights that aren't part of the decoration, even parts of buildings have this specific thing.
Is this that particular shade of green paint?
It is. I will give it to you there. It is called Go Away Green.
Go Away Green. I couldn't remember the brand name for it, but I did know that there's a specific, like, they did a study on why it would work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so pretty much it is, if you look at the gates and the umbrellas, construction facades, certain light posts, backstage doors, there's that kind of weird in between of sage and olive green that they paint them all.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, like the least clinical way that I can explain why is essentially your brain thinks it's boring.
Nice.
It chooses not to register it unless you look for it. And so like the animation tower is, or not animation tower, like the entrance to the animation courtyard in Hollywood Studios is painted that, there's a portion of it painted that green. And it makes it kind of go away and blend into the skyline in a way that's really interesting. The guardrails are that green. I'm trying to think of other things. Umbrellas are that green. The speakers are a huge one, actually, because I just realized I looked at it and I hadn't noticed the speakers in the background. When you look at this one's Disneyland, but when you look in California Adventure, the statue with Walt and Mickey with the suitcases, in the background there's a bunch of speakers in that. Your eye's not drawn to them.
What?
Here, I will copy it into our chat right now so you can see. Never mind. Our chat doesn't let us do that.
Let's see.
Let me copy it on Discord. Yeah, so for sorry for listeners, that wasn't very audio driven. But there are speakers on big posts in the background your eyes are so not drawn to. And then the umbrellas in the back.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is just something your brain kind of overwrites. And that's what they use to draw your eyes somewhere else.
Huh. I would love to know the studies, like how they figured out what precise shade of green they should do, like how you figure that out in multiple lighting. I think it's a
trade secret for them, like, too.
I'm sure it is. That's interesting. Huh. Now I'm going to be looking for it, which I guess is like not the point, but...
Yeah, once you look for it, you will see it. It won't trick you out of like not being able to see it if you don't look for it. But yeah, no, once you look for it, you'll recognize it. Dang. Check-in stands for restaurants that are
really
on the road. Well, you look in the same picture.
Yeah,
you can see one. Trash cans. A lot of trash cans are like that.
I guess That makes sense. You wouldn't want them to stand out too much.
Yeah, yeah. If it's close enough to the restaurant, I believe they do the picture. But like if it's like a booth or something like that, they don't really want you to see the cashier.
Huh?
Not the cashier, but like
the logistics of it all.
Hides that part. So yeah, nice. That is Go Away Green.
Go Away Green, and you probably cannot buy it unless you work for Disney.
Nope. You have to make it. People have gotten close. But
my own homebrew Go Away Green.
There's like a couple different colors you can buy from like Bear that you can combine, and it gets really close.
Huh. Cool. All right. Well, I've got one more, and oops, it's all right. History questions.
Is it all in Tomorrowland?
No, we're going to Epcot for this one.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. In Epcot's Imagination Pavilion now sits Journey into Imagination with Figment. But if you can guess where this question's going to go, that was not the attraction that originally opened with the pavilion in 1983. Can you name the previous attractions that were in this space?
Plural?
I'll tell you that there were two attractions before Journey into Imagination with Figment. And boy, are their names similar.
I know, is one of them Journey into Imagination with the Dreamfinder or with Dreamfinder?
I'll give it to you. It's just Journey into Imagination, full okay. stop. But that is the iteration that matches that ride.
And then let me guess that the third one is Imagination.
It is not Imagination.
Wow. Okay.
It's very similar to the other two. It's the first one with a single word added in.
It's Figment's one or the Dreamfinder one with a single word?
It's the Dreamfinder one and then add one word.
So okay,
it's Journey into Imagination, and then they added a single word somewhere in there. That really stunk it up.
I'm trying Magic Journeys? Magic Journey into Imagination? No? I know there's a song that is Magic Journeys from like old Disney.
I'm checking. Is that your final answer?
That's gonna be my final answer, because otherwise we're just gonna hear me guessing words.
It was Journey into Your Imagination.
Oh man, that's the obvious one.
And
I didn't go for it.
knowing the history, it's obvious, but from like a design perspective, it's not obvious.
It's not great. It's bad.
I think we've talked about it at least a couple times before, but Journey into Your Imagination. For anyone that doesn't know or never wrote it, congrats for never writing it or not knowing about it. It was a pile of flaming garbage. like notorious.
We should do a piece of Disney history on the Figment ride and all of its iterations. Figment was in all of them, though, wasn't he?
Figment was in all of them.
Because he's been Epcot's mascot from the beginning.
He was the least in the second one. You could only hear him at the end of the ride. He appeared in pre-show videos, and there was like a constellation of Figment at the end of the ride. And that was one of the many pain points for that version of the ride that people were very upset about.
I laugh because nowadays I think people would want that.
There are some really great Disney historians out there, and there are a couple of YouTube channels that have put together really great videos of the original Journey into Imagination, the one with Dreamfinder and Figment, using like high quality audio tracks and kind of up-resed videos from the time. Listeners, if you haven't seen it, you should take a second and watch the ride. It's twice as long as Journey into Imagination with Figment today, because when they did the second version, they chopped half the track out and made it like it's crazy. We'll do a whole episode about it because I'm very passionate about this topic, because the original ride is, I think, one of the best dark rides Disney's ever created. And it's really sad that they nixed it to save some money. And like, yeah, so that's the history of that building. And there's also the whole like ImageWorks thing and the upstairs area of the pavilion and all the unused space that's in there right now. But I'll stop there. That's the trivia part. Yeah.
All right. I feel like this was more. Yeah, this was like trivia plus history lesson. It was weird. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually.
I've been going on a lot of deep dives, so I apologize for that leaking those were into good. Trivia.
Those are great. Those are great. I did not know those. I did not know any of those. That was fun. All right. But, well, that's the trivia.
That's this episode. Yeah. That's trivia.
Are we doing Masquerades on these?
I don't think so. I think we'll keep them just tight clip through them. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe on the second one, we'll have on the next episode, we might have a Masquerade at the end, depending on time, but you'll have to tune in for that one next week.
I like building this in so you didn't have to edit that out.
Nice.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening. We apologize. It's a little shorter ones and we're kind of keeping them tight, but we're just trying to make sure we got some episodes for you guys while I'm on my trip and we don't miss a stride. And then the next time we record, it will be probably for a trip recap.
Yeah, it will.
A long set of trip recaps, most likely.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Hopefully the listeners are excited as well. I can tell you, I am nearly vibrating out of my chair.
Yeah.
and
blur on camera right now.
Yeah, pretty much. I am a ball of excitement and stress for packing. So
nice.
It is all here coming to fruition. So again, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love to hear about an Apple Podcast or Spotify. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Friday afternoon. And Noah, do you got anything?
Nothing else to say except thanks for joining us. And until next time, have a magical day.
Have a magical day, everybody.